Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the Word of God on this first morning of this new year, 2016. I will preach it from the scripture part that we have been reading from Psalm 37. I read one verse as a text verse for the sermon, verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5, where we read God's holy and infallible word as follows. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The theme for the sermon is wise advice. So, 3 points of attention. The first point, commit thy way unto the Lord. The second point, trust in him. And the third point, he shall bring it to pass. The theme is wise advice. 3 points, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Congregation, there was a man that came to a pastor, and he had a question. So, you got the impression that he was really seeking. The question that he wanted to ask, and by which he gave the impression that he was seeking to find the truth, was, Pastor, please explain me. There are so many difficult things in the world. For example, I struggle with this question, where did Cain find his wife? If I only could have answers to my questions, then... Well, the pastor said, I can answer that question, of course. I have another question for you. If I will answer that question to you, would that be the way? Would that be the moment that you would really repent before the Lord and commit thyself to God? Or would you have another question and another question and another question? Because the danger can be that you try, and that's what the pastor felt and saw, that you try to hide behind certain questions that you bring up and in a certain way make an excuse in it, so that you do not have to repent because you don't understand the word. It's too difficult for you, and that you do not have to commit to the Lord. And so you hide away from the Lord because you do not want to reveal what is in your life, and you do not want to commit to God. Oh, yes, our heart is so smart in finding ways to keep our own way and to excuse ourselves in that situation. But this psalm David is teaching, and he is calling that we would commit our way unto the Lord. And how fit it is at the beginning of this new year to hear these words. This psalm of David, which you could say is really a psalm of teaching. And that is needed. Teaching about the things of God. And then that powerful verse, that wise teaching in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. That's what we need in this year, isn't it? To commit our way unto the Lord. In this psalm, David is teaching especially about a very difficult thing. There are difficult things that we can experience in life, and also when we see things and know the word, we see them also in a certain light of the word, there can be questions. And what is the difficulty in this psalm that David is teaching about? Well, the problem is that there are people in this world that live an evil life, and they seem to have prosperity. They do not have so much trouble as those that fear the Lord. And then if you read in the Word that God is promising blessings to those that fear his name, yeah, you can get stuck in your thoughts. You can have trouble to understand that. We all know probably what Psalm 73 is how Psalm 73 is speaking about that. It's the same thing that a psalm writer saw people that were really having a good time as far as he could see on earth, but they didn't fear the Lord, they didn't seek the Lord, they didn't bother about his service to God, and they seemed to have everything that they wanted to have, and they didn't experience the hardships. Well, the psalm writer, he experienced every morning trouble, suffering, tribulation. How is that possible? Yeah, that's a question that we can have. Might be that there's someone here that is struggling with such a question. Well, we can say different things about it. And one of the things that we can say is, when we see the promises of blessings in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, blessings that come with a life in the fear of the Lord, then we have to see that one of the important explanations and applications is that those blessings are given and received as a people, as a whole, as a body, you could say, as a nation. And we see that really happening many times in the Old Testament. When the people is fearing God and serving the Lord according to his word, that things were blessed with them. That they received the blessings of the Lord. They had peace, and there was food, there were fruits on the field. And so God blessed them while they were walking in his ways, in his paths. But when they would turn their back to the Lord, and then there would be enemies coming and attacking them, and the Lord would bring them low. There would be a famine, there would be things that would make it clear that God was withdrawing his blessings so that they would humble before the Lord and repent and confess and cry out for his help and return to God. We see that many times in the Old Testament also. And at the same time, we see that there are children of God that have hardship and tribulation, trial, in a personal way in their lives, like David has had it. That he had tribulation, but he had to flee for Saul for years. If you think about Joseph, such a young man, and such a deep way of being tested. And so there are many examples in the Old Testament, and read the Psalms, how they describe what a child of God is experiencing, showing that we cannot say that a child of God will only have blessings. No, there will be trials and tribulations in the life of those that fear God. Although we could say, we can see a different emphasis in the Old Testament. There God is giving promises of blessing, showing his goodness more in a material way also, before Christ had come, showing in those blessings of this temporary life, something of his abundance that he would prepare and give in Christ. Well, in the New Testament, you see a lot of emphasis also on that if we belong to the Lord, we will experience also his suffering. We will share in the hatred that Christ has received in this world. So it means to take our cross upon us, and we have to do it cheerfully. Those are things that we have to remember. A few things about when we see people that do not fear the Lord but have prosperity. And we sincerely, by the grace of God, seek the Lord. We can be in a situation that we experience adversity and trouble. And oh, how difficult it is. And now the teaching of David, fret not thyself because of evildoers. It seems that they can do it without being punished. It looks like for some time that they just can live their own sinful life and boast in their own way and have pride. It can be that an evildoer is exalted for a certain time, and that a child of God is oppressed for a certain time in life. And oh, how difficult that is. Why is this happening? Lord, I do not understand it. What is the reason? I have searched my heart, and I sincerely want to obey thee and to fear thee, and now I experience this trial in my life. What is the reason? And those that sin against thee, they can continue to do that? Well, another thing that we have to remember is that they can continue in their wrong way of life for some time has to do with the patience of God. That God is so long-suffering, and that he does not have a delight in that man will perish, but that man will convert, repent, and be saved. But at the end, his judgment will be there. There is a moment in time that the Lord will say, and now it's enough. And now then his judgment comes, like David is explaining, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, they shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. So, yeah, the Lord is seeing those things, although we are not immediately aware of it. He knows about our trial and tribulation. He knows about the hardship that we experience, and he is teaching us in his word what we have to do in such a life. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. So David says, we have to commit our way unto the Lord. What does that mean, our way? Well, it's clear that he is speaking about our life. So you have to see life is like a way. The things that happen in life, everything we experience, it's like that we make a journey, that we go a certain way here on earth. And we know that God is ruling our lives. And when we experience the way that we go and have to go, oh, and we have our struggle, our questions. We feel that it is difficult and hard. There are things that we do not understand. Well, what can we do? Well, David says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Isn't that such an important teaching for this new year? It's a teaching for adults. It's a teaching for young people and for children, that you would commit your way unto the Lord. What does it mean? Well, the literal translation is something like that you would roll your way unto the Lord. So you could say, well, what's happening in your life, you could compare it to a rock that is too heavy, you cannot bear it, and that you would roll it upon the Lord. He is so powerful. He can bear you, and everything that happens in your life, he can give you the strength that you need. So you might say, well, but I don't know how to do that. Well, yeah, that's a good question. How can we do that? Commit our way unto the Lord. If you again think about that big rock and it's laying there, if you would have to roll it, you might have a lack of strength, not know how to do it. So what could you do? Well, you could use a lever, you know what I mean? Like a big piece of wood, a beam that you would, and then you would be able to roll it away. Well, isn't that what happens when we by prayer? Isn't that a mighty lever to roll our way unto the Lord? When we by prayer commit our way unto God, by prayer which is done in faith, that we pour out our heart before God and that we trust upon Him and that we bring all those things to God. If you do that, you know what that means. There are so many difficult things in life, isn't it? And we can be sure that there are many difficult things prepared in this new started year. And now, oh, that we would know by experience what it means. That we would practice this. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That we would go with all those things to God. Like Hezekiah, when those letters came threatening him and despising him and his people and God, he went to the house of the Lord and he was laying them before God. And he did really not know how to solve this, and he could not. He did not have the strength, he did not have the power to overcome this enemy. But by prayer, he rolled it unto the Lord. What a wonderful thing. And then it's gone, isn't it? It's rolled away, your way committed unto the Lord. And He is the one. And He is the one in control. We have to see that more. That God is ruling. And that He's able to do that. And not we. So, all those things that happen in our life, our way that we have to go in this world, in our life, it has a starting point when we were born, it has a point that it will be finished when we pass away from this world, and in between there is a way, like a journey, and there can be situations that are like, yeah, you say, is there really a way that I can go? I don't know how to do it. And now David says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Children, yeah, do it while you are still young. Young people, commit your way unto the Lord. So, kneel before God. Tell Him everything. If your heart is cold, tell Him. He is the one that is changing hearts. If you are stuck in sin, tell the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. If you experience suffering and the pressure upon you, come before the Lord in prayer and pour out your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Yeah, David knew what it is by experience when he was writing this. Think for a while about the life of David. David, born in a family in Bethlehem, and he was the youngest, taking care of the sheep. We all remember that history, that Samuel came to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as a king, to be a king. And then all the sons came, the biggest one, wow, that's a strong man. He could be the king. And then, he wasn't. And then the next one, and the Lord said, well, don't look at the outward. I look at the inward. So then all the sons came, and none of them was the one to be king. That's strange. It must be. It must be one of the sons that will be king. Oh yeah, we have another one. The smallest one. The youngest one. We forgot about him. So he wasn't really not important. And then they called him. And he was anointed to be king. If you think for a while about that, isn't that what happens also in this world? Can happen that you as a child, as a young person, can experience a certain pressure already in a family, certain way neglected, or one of the elders in the family is putting pressure on you and pushing you backward for one or other reason. You can have a hard time with that, children. It can be very difficult. Tell it to the Lord. It would be good as we, if we as parents take care that we try to see things that can happen in our family and to help those that are weaker and can be pushed down and pushed backward by those that are stronger or are older, that we try to show love to all of our children like we should do in the same way, that we love them all in the same way, because they're all given by the Lord to us. So David, yeah, he has experienced quite some things in his life that he, and oh, we know, he was the one that had inwardly something worked by the Lord and the fear of God. And yeah, even the Lord can use those situations that you feel and experience pressure upon your life. And that you can have something inside that you will start to fret. That word fret means do not fret. It means do not become angry about it. Like, let there not be a fire starting to burn in your heart. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Oh, there can be those situations that you really feel this is not just. It is really not right what is done to me. So, but yeah, you are powerless. You are weak. What can you do? There you are, taking care of the sheep, forgotten by everybody, neglected. And yeah, then, well, commit thy way unto the Lord. You see David there doing that? You see those times in your own life? So God bless it, can bless it to you, isn't it? Those things that you would really not choose for yourself, yeah, can and will be part in the plan of God to bring people to their knees. And let's think a little bit more about David. Then his father later on told him, well, there was a war against the Philistines, that he had to go and take some food and see how your brothers are doing. So there David was going, the youngest one, to look for his older brothers and to see how they were doing in the war against the Philistines. And there he came. And then he heard something. What's happening here? Oh, there was a big Philistine, a giant, Goliath, and he was cursing and swearing and dishonoring the Lord. And all the people was trembling. And then when David heard that, you can see that he really, in a tender way, loved the Lord. It really hit him. He couldn't take it. Oh, why would this Gentile dishonor the God of Israel and the people of God? So he started to talk about people, and then one of his older brothers became angry against him. Said, well, what are you doing here? And where did you leave those few sheep? You feel the despise in his voice? I was pushing him down. I know how you are, that you wanted to see the war. That's why you came. And it was really not true. His father told him to go there. He was just obeying his father. So, yeah, why did his brother do it? Well, it's not so difficult probably to understand that there easily can come jealousy in the hearts of those that are older, while he was the one that would be king. So, yeah, how bad for David to experience that, and how easily it happens, that jealousy can come in the heart of people, and that is a reason that we make life difficult to each other in a family or in a work situation or even in a church, and that your way of life is difficult and that you sometimes can feel so powerless. Did you really feel this is not just? So you can start to fight and try to avenge yourself, and that's not a biblical way. Well, yeah, you can speak like David did. He says, well, there's no reason that you say this. But we also have to see the most important thing is to commit our way unto the Lord. To commit our way unto the Lord, like David has been doing. Oh, what a blessing. If we would learn that while we are still young, that we can roll that burden, that can be like a heavy burden on our heart, that we can roll it away by that lever of prayer in faith unto the Lord, that you will see that the Lord is to be trusted, and trust in Him. We need that so much, to trust in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? We have heard it many times, but really to practice it, to trust into the Lord, in our way of life that we go and that we experience, to live a life trusting into the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Well, let's try to understand it deeper. Let's try to think about it, to trust in the Lord. Many things happen in our lives, isn't it? Many things we experience at school, in our studies, in our job, in our business. There are things that we do succeed and that we think, oh yeah, I made it, I got it. And now that we will trust in the Lord. So that will... That means that we in all those things that we are successful, that we will see it is the hand of God that is ruling my life and He is providing. That's why I have this good grade at school. God has given me the wisdom and now I just have to depend on Him to show me the way of life, to use my gifts in a way that it will be to His glory, that it will be for the benefit of His kingdom, and that it will be good for me also in such a way that I will not go astray by this success that I have, but that I will live near to the Lord. But so that's hard, huh? Not to forget the Lord while we have success, while things go well, while life can also, the way of life can be smooth. And then not to forget the Lord, not to think that you did it by your, because you are so smart and you are so good, and that you think that you can do without God and boast in yourself. That might be even harder than trusting in the Lord in adversity. But both is needed. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord when things go in a way that you really do not like, that make you suffer. Or, yeah, that it is against your expectations, against what you were hoping you would receive. And those things happen many times, that we... Yeah, that our way of life is that we do not receive what we wanted to receive, and we might see someone else got what I would like to have. If you think about those brothers of David, how they had to see that their youngest brother might have been more gifted in a certain way. David was really a gifted man, such a powerful king and wise king he has been, although he has sinned also. Seriously. So then, if you would think yourself in a position of that older brothers, and you see your younger brother going in such a way that God is using him in a special way, or has certain given certain gifts that you would like to have, so then you really need the fear of the Lord in your heart. And trust in God that you will believe But God has been providing in my life. So the way I am, and the gifts I have, the talents I have received it from God, and that is good. He has His plan with my life. And my calling is to use my gifts and my talents like I have received it, in trusting the Lord. And no more. That's it. It's not my calling to try to be like someone else, to try to push someone else down out of his position so that I can be there. No, that's not my calling. That's not trusting the Lord. That's not real faith. That's not the life of faith. That's the life of the flesh. That's a carnal life. That's against the word of God. That's against the will of God. That's the life of sin, isn't it? If we have a true and living faith in our heart, we will see that God is God. He is sovereign. So He is free to do in my life what He has planned to do. And that He wants me to trust Him. So then I will see, when I get a position in life that is lower than I by nature would hope I would get, then I have to think. I have to listen to the Word, listen to the teaching of the Word. And what is the Word teaching us? Well, we are man, and God is our Creator. And we have sinned against God, you and I. So what we deserve because of our sin is destruction, is eternal perishing, is dead. Because we have sinned against God. And now here I am, and I get a position that is lower than that I hope to have. And I see someone else is getting more honor and more gifts. And now I would rebel against God? I would try to fight my brother about it? Well, that is strange, because God has given me so much. So much more than I deserve. If I think about what I deserve because of my sin against God. And here I am, I'm alive. I get food every day. I get clothes. I have a place to live. Much more than others have in this world. And yeah, there are hard things in my life. There are trials. Sure, I do not have. Might be that you have to say, I do not get the grades that I would like to have at school. I didn't get a position in society that I would like to have. My business is not so successful as I would hope it would be. My job is harder than I would hope it would be. But, well, isn't God still good? Isn't He very merciful and gracious to you? Oh, that we would see that more. That we would see things in the light of the Word. And there is really no reason to complain. Yeah, there is a reason. Why would a man complain? Well, let a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a child complain about his and her sins. That is a reason to complain. O Lord, I have sinned against Thee. Complain about yourself, what you have done against such a good God. To trust into the Lord. Do you understand what that means? To live that, isn't that a simple life? In the most rich meaning of the word, just simple, depend on God. And in depending on God, trying to answer His calling in your life with the gifts that He has given, and no more and no less, so that He will get the glory and the honor and the praise. What a good year it will be if you could live such a life satisfied with what God has given to you. I know. Oh yeah, we so easily can become upset inside. Yeah. And the flesh can be experienced so powerfully after receiving grace. Oh, but I pray that grace will rule our hearts. What does that mean? When we by faith know grace that rules our heart. Grace means undeserved. Everything I receive from God is undeserved. The most small thing, why would I complain about what I get or about what I do not get? If I see how much I receive, how good God is for me, I'm really ashamed that our hearts are so proud that we can be rebelling against, in rebellion against God. Well, God is so good. Yeah, that mouths are filled by God with bread can speak against that God. Isn't it a shame? Oh, sin is so terrible. But that we would live a life in faith, trust also in Him. And anything that is not by faith is sin, because pride is there. But not that humble spirit of faith is inside, and not grace is ruling our lives, then pride is there to resist against the ruling of my life by God. Oh, I pray that that will not be the case this year in my life. But I know that it is only by the work of Christ in my heart when it is different. Because this is not my nature. It is grace when I trust in the Lord and commit my way unto Him. But it is such a good life. It is such a sweet experience that there is that surrendering of the heart to God and that you trust in Him, that everything is good. It's like a small child walking at the hand of his mother and everything is fine because mother is there and she knows where to go and what to do. And the child doesn't understand and doesn't know, but that's fine, depending totally on the mother. Such a childlike faith this year. Oh, that's to the glory of God. We honor the Lord by living in such a way. And He is teaching us in His Word that we have to live in such a way. So, yeah, let us expect it from Him. He is the one that can work it in your heart. Maybe you say, well, those are nice words, but it's impossible. Yeah, it is for you. But it's not impossible for God to work it in your heart. There are so many examples in the Word. There are so many nice text verses in the Word showing how they have experienced, people have experienced it in the past. How they have lived by faith. If you think about Hebrews 11, what is possible by faith? There are so many promises in the Word. You will certainly not be ashamed. Boys and girls, if you seek such a life from God, to receive it from Him, that He will work it in your heart by His Word this year. Oh, let this be the year that you receive it, that you come to the Lord, drawn by Himself, and that He is going to work that trust in your heart. And He shall bring it to pass. It's all His work. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 34, stanza 1 till 4. 34, stanza 1. Thy word sheds light upon my path, a shining light. It guides my feet. 34, stanza 1 till 4. And he shall bring it to pass. Not you, not me, but he. He shall bring it to pass. Some decades ago, it started to happen that there came a lot of shops, and you have it also here, where you can buy stuff that you can do it yourself, build your own house, fix it yourself. And so, a lot of people do that now, and I really have done it a lot also. I like to do those kind of things. But isn't it the case that we, in a spiritual way, like it also? Do it yourself. Fix it yourself. If I can do it myself, well, that makes me feel good. If I could have it in my own hand, that is really what we have to get rid of in spiritual way. He shall bring it to pass. If we do it ourselves, we destroy the whole thing. What can happen? Because, people start to do something themselves, build their own house, and they do not have the right knowledge, they can ruin the whole situation. Well, that's what we do. When we live a life that we can think, that we can fix it ourselves, the situation of our hearts, or the hardships that we experience in life. If you again would think about David, after he was anointed to be king and being persecuted by Saul for years, he never took it in his own hand. And what a blessing it is. And why did he not do it? Because his friends would advise him. When Saul came in that cave to sleep there, he could easily have killed him, and then his trouble would be over. Well, in certain way, at least this big enemy would no more be there. David refused to do that. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord. And he knew, and he told, that the Lord at his time would bring it to pass. And because David feared the Lord, he really saw that it would be wrong if he would take it in his own hand, if he would take revenge on his enemy, while he had such a deep respect for what God had given to Saul. God had given the office of being a king to Saul. He was the anointed of the Lord. And so, and David said, well, no, I cannot do that. How could I kill the anointed of the Lord? He is the king. And God has made him king of our nation. So he didn't do it. But Saul lived really a terrible, sinful life. That's true. Oh, that's so bad. For Saul, so bad. And the people suffered because of it. But, David was not accountable for that. He was accountable for, responsible for his own behavior to the king that was anointed by the Lord. And he believed that God, ruling this world, would bring it to pass so he could give it in the hands of the Lord. How hard it was. And there have been times of deep distress for David. But he continued to trust in the Lord. And it was so terrible for Saul, because it happened. What David is writing in this psalm, and that the Lord really at a certain time would punish the wickedness of the evil. Verse 15, it says, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. And Saul, in that last war that he had with the Philistines, when he became so desperate that he went to that lady that with work with spirit and darkness to get a word, because the Lord didn't speak to him anymore. How bad if we have hardened our hearts and the Lord didn't speak to him anymore. And he wanted to have a word. So he went to the lady that would consult the spirit and bring up Samuel. And he was so desperate. And then he took his own life. He fell in his own sword. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. He had tried to kill David by that sword, but the Lord in his time did punish that wickedness of Saul, that unjust behavior that he had against David. Oh, if we will believe that the Lord will bring it to pass, it will keep us out of much evil. It will show us the way that we have to live. You say, it's hard. It's hard. It makes me so sad, this situation. I want to try to solve it. I'm not saying that you are not allowed to use your gifts to try to solve hard situations if it is not against the word of God. If it can be done in an honest way, if you can do it by prayer and trusting the Lord. And if that is not the case, well, listen what David says in verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord. So that's the way to endure, to continue. If there is such a hard situation giving you a lot of sorrow and sadness, what is the way to persevere? To meditate upon the Lord. To look upon Christ. To find delight in the Lord. And not to seek it in sinful ways. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's a secret that the world doesn't understand. That life of faith, to trust in the Lord, to know that he is ruling the world and not me, and I'm not ruling the world, but God is ruling the world. And then to meditate upon his word, to seek the Lord, to find him in the word, to get comfort in my soul, to find delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And the word of God, received by faith, is such an abundant fountain of delight in the Lord. God is good. He's great. He has done great things. Maybe you say, well, yeah, will it ever happen? Yeah, you can say, he shall bring it to pass. But do you know how long I have been waiting? Rest in the Lord, verse 7, and wait patiently for him. Yeah, that's hard for us, to wait for the Lord. Remember the people of Israel, when the enemy came, they wanted to run to Egypt to get horses and chariots so that they could solve this situation. But the prophet had to say, well, sit still. Wait for the Lord. Be silent. Be quiet. Wait for the Lord. And that's hard. It was so hard for them. It's only possible by faith. You say, yeah, oh, if I only would know that the Lord will bring it to pass. Well, remember what God has done. How he brought his son in the world, promised for ages, and it happened. When the fullness of time was there, Christ came into this world. And he accomplished such a great work. And it is sufficient for salvation. And see what happened throughout the ages. How the Spirit was poured out. The church is gathered. All over the world, God is gathering his church. Throughout ages, thousands of years. How many have heard the word of the gospel? How many have been converted? What a mighty things God has done in this world. Is he not trustworthy? Yeah, it's good if we try to trust each other and try to be trustworthy, but we will fail. We are weak and we are only temporary, but God is the eternal and almighty God. And it is his word when he says, and he shall bring it to pass, children. You will not be ashamed when you trust the Lord. So maybe you say, well, yeah, I wait till the Lord will save me. Oh, yeah, I hear what you say. Until that time, you know, I just sit down and wait. Well, if you think that you have to apply those words in such a way that you say, well, salvation is a thing that you just sit down and wait and it might come if it is in the plan of the Lord or not. Now, that is not a teaching of the word. Salvation is a thing that the Lord says, well, seek and you will find. And salvation is a thing that the Lord is saying that you have to repent and should not say, well, I just sit down and wait if that might ever happen. No, salvation is a thing that the Lord says, well, you know, there should be conversion in your life. Where you say, can I do it myself? Is it not a work of God? Yes, it is. But would you say that he is not giving an abundant testimony in his word that he will work it, where you cry out to him for grace and seek him in his word? Yes, he does. He does. He has done that so many times. And there are so many promises in his word. And then in all the other things that will be experienced, oh, to trust him also and to know by faith that he is the one that will bring it to pass in this year, every day. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we pray for that grace in our hearts, for the first time to know Christ, to have true repentance and forgiveness of our sins. Thou hast given so many promises in the word. Oh Lord, thou art calling in thy word. And oh Lord, soften our hearts that we would not resist that word of grace, but trust in thee. And also for all the things that will be experienced in the life with thee, trust in thee, that thou art the one bringing it to pass, that we will roll our way upon the Lord. Lord, that burden of life that is too heavy for us, it's not too heavy for thee. Give us that grace to pour out our hearts before thee. Bless thy word, O Lord, and bless it this coming year. Oh, keep us as a congregation, Lord, that we will see thy mighty work amongst us and in many places of this world. Bless all the work in thy kingdom. We pray for thy people of the Jews. Lord, open their eyes that they will see this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and will be saved. He who came to save sinners, to reconcile enemies to God, to save and justify the ungodly by faith. It's our only hope. It's our deep comfort. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Be with us this day. O Lord, keep us on the dangerous roads and keep us from sin. We pray, Lord, forgive our many sins. By the blood of Christ, there is power in the blood to wash and cleanse from all sin. Work faith, Lord, that we receive it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing now, Psalter 297, stanza 1 till 3, 297, stanza 1, oh praise the Lord, for he is good, his mercy still endure. 297, stanza 1 till 3.
On behalf of the consistory and congregation, I want to wish you and you, Mrs. Vandenberg, and children a blessed and prosperous new year. You are unique among us in the sense that it is your calling, as Peter says, to feed the flock of God which is among you, or also the Apostle Paul says in Acts, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. So feeding the church, this flock, with the word of God, a special calling and ministry the Lord has given you among us. And I would like to encourage you in that area. Anyone familiar with farm life will be very familiar with this illustration that I'd like to bring to you from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 and 10. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. I can imagine that sometimes the responsibility of feeding, of ministering the word, can be very overwhelming and heavy. You know, children, if you have a dog or a cat or even a larger animal like a sheep or a cow, and you need to feed it, that feeding has to happen morning and evening, day in and day out. And if you don't feed your animal will suffer or maybe even die without food, good food and fresh water. So I want to think about this burden of our pastor. He's working day and night to feed us, studying what to say from the word, then preaching and teaching from the word, then praying that the word will be blessed. And what a task, what a labor. And therefore, these words of the Apostle Paul are so encouraging. First of all, he says, and this is our wish for you and for your family, is that you would be supplied with carnal things, not in a negative way, but that you would have what you need for food and clothes and housing and all the things for daily life. But it's not the only thing he's pointing at in this chapter, because he also adds in verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." And really, if you think about the illustration here of this animal that's doing the work of treading out the corn, and that the muzzle is removed so that the animal himself can be partaker of the food that he's ministering or that he's laboring in. And therefore, it's our second wish for you, that you would experience the nearness and the feeding of the Lord as you labor on our behalf. He is the good shepherd, and he feeds both the pastor and the flock out of his fullness. May we together be fed from his pierced hands. And so perhaps, congregation, you've been thinking as I've talked here a moment, how could you support your pastor more? And that would be a good application from 1 Corinthians 9. But I would want to just exhort you to one simple thing. You can support your pastor by eating what he feeds you. Some of us, we've been treasuring the word that he brings, the message that's brought. And there's growth by it. But some of you are eating the weeds and the garbage of worldly things, unhealthy food, and there's no room for the word of God. I want to exhort you, you're making your pastor's task a burden and a grief. But pastor, I have one more wish for you for the new year, and that is that you would, by the grace of Jesus Christ, have his compassion to be seeking lost sheep, and that you will be able time and again to see the lost carried home by the Good Shepherd this year. May the Lord bless us and be among us.